that you should know that one is not entitled to break the fast just because a certain time has come on the clock. But one must, you know, worship the deity of that day. And then one can break the fast. So, we shall read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 I suggest you sit there next. Well, I guess everyone sort of has their back facing the deities, but
yeah, that's why I sat here.
But then your back's to those deities. I'll go there. Yeah, I'll go in that corner. So, texts 1 and 2. I'll just read the translations. Shukadeva Goswami said, under the protection of Magadharaj, Jarasandha, the powerful Kamsa began persecuting the kings of the Yadu dynasty. In this, he had the cooperation of demons like Pralamba, Baka, Chanara, Chinavarta, Agasura, Mustika, Arista, Dvivida, Putana, Keshi, Deduka, Banasura, Narakasura, and many other demoniac kings on the surface of the earth. Persecuted by the demoniac kings, the Yadavas left their own kingdom and entered various others, such as those of the Kurus, Panchalas, Kekayas, Shalvas, Vidarbhas, Nishadas, Videhas, and Koshalas. Some of their relatives, however, began to follow Kamsa's principles and act in his service. After Kamsa, the son of Ugrasena, killed the six sons of Devaki, a plenary portion of Krishna entered her womb as her seventh child, arousing her pleasure and her lamentation. That plenary portion is celebrated by great sages as Ananta, who belongs to Krishna's second quadruple expansion. Text 6. To protect the Yadus, his personal devotees, from Kamsa's attack, the personality of Godhead, Vishvatma, the supreme soul of everyone, ordered Yoga Maya as follows. The Lord ordered Yoga Maya, O my potency, who are worshipable for the entire world, and whose nature is to bestow good fortune upon all living entities. Go to Vraja, where there live many cowherd men and their wives. In that very beautiful land, where many cows reside, Rohini, the wife of Vasudev, is living at the home of Nanda Maharaj. Other wives of Vasudev are also living there incognito because of fear of Kamsa. Please go there. Purport. Nanda Gokul, the residence of King Nanda, was itself very beautiful. And when Yogamaya was ordered to go there and encourage the devotees with fearlessness, it became even more beautiful and safe. Because Yogamaya had the ability to create such an atmosphere, the Lord ordered her to go to Nanda Gokul. Text 8. Within the womb of Devaki is my partial plenary expansion known as Shankarshan or Shesha. Without difficulty, transfer him into the womb of Rohini. So Balaram was first in Devaki. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The first plenary expansion of Krishna is Baladev, also known as Shesha. The Shesha incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead supports the entire universe, and the eternal mother of this incarnation is Mother. Are you listening?
Yes.
You know the answer. Who is it? Who? Rohini, yes. The Shesha incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead supports the entire universe. And the eternal mother of this incarnation is Mother Rohini. Quote, because I am going into the womb of Devaki, end quote, the Lord told Yogamaya, quote, the Shesha incarnation has already gone there and made suitable arrangements so that I may live there. Now he should enter the womb of Rohini, his eternal mother. End quote. In this connection, one may ask how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always situated transcendentally, could enter the womb of Devaki, which had previously been entered by the six asuras, the Sadgarbhas. Does this mean that the Sadgarbhasuras were equal to the transcendental body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The following answer is given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The entire creation, as well as its individual parts, is an expansion of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, even though the Lord enters the material world, he does not do so. This is explained by the Lord himself in the Bhagavad Gita 9, 4 and 5. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagad avyaktamurtina matstani sarvabhutani Nachaham teshvavastitaha, nachamatstani bhutani, pashyame yogamaishvaram. Bhuta Brinna Chabutasto Mamatma Bhuta Bhavana. By me and my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. And yet everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am everywhere, myself is the very source of creation. A pure devotee is always transcendentally situated because of executing 9 different processes of bhakti yoga. Shravanam kirtanam Vishno, smaranam padasevanam, archanam vandanam dasyam sakyamatmanivedanam. Thus situated in devotional service, a devotee, although in the material world, is not in the material world. Yet a devotee always fears, because I am associated with the material world, so many contaminations affect me. Therefore, he is always alert in fear, which gradually diminishes his material association. So fear of Maya is purifying and beneficial. In fact, once Srila Prabhupada said that his only complaint about his disciples is that they're not afraid of Maya sufficiently. So this is a very deep and esoteric explanation of the 6 sons who were killed by Kamsa. Symbolically, Mother Devaki's constant fear of Kamsa was purifying her. A pure devotee should always fear material association. And in this way, all the asuras of material association will be killed, as the Sadgarbhasuras were killed by Kamsa. It is said that from the mind, Marichi appears. In other words, Marichi is an incarnation of the mind. Marichi has 6 sons, Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, and Matsarya. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in pure devotional service. This is confirmed in the Vedas. Bhaktir evainam darshayati. Only bhakti can bring one in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these, I don't think I'll tell the whole story now, but it's very instructive. But these 6 Garbhasuras who were killed by Kamsa, why were they killed by Kamsa when they were born of Vasudeva and Devaki? So the answer is that in their past lives, they had committed very severe Vaishnav aparats. And that's why they had to suffer this fate. This history, it's in the Bhagavatam, but it was explained by Lord Chaitanya to one devotee who had some doubts about Lord Nityananda. But he had faith in Lord Chaitanya, but he had some doubts about Lord Nityananda. Because Lord Nityananda was very unconventional. But his good quality was he had faith in Lord Chaitanya and he expressed his doubts to Lord Chaitanya in Puri. He went from Navadvipa to Puri. And Lord Chaitanya told him about these six asuras who were sons of Lord Brahma. And there was one pastime where Lord Brahma became attracted to his daughter. It was also a divine arrangement, you could say. And these six sons of Brahma laughed at their father because they considered his behavior to be so unbecoming. And on account of that offense, they had to take birth as demons and be killed by Kamsa. So Lord Chaitanya concluded that discussion with that Brahmin from Navadvipa and said, "So, you know, you've committed offenses against Lord Nityananda, so you must immediately return to Navadvipa and explain everything that happened and beg for his forgiveness." So, Marici has six sons: Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, and Matsarya. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in pure devotional service. Only bhakti can bring one in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared from the womb of Devaki, and therefore Devaki symbolically represents bhakti. And Kamsa symbolically represents material fear. When a pure devotee always fears material association, his real position of bhakti is manifested, and he naturally becomes uninterested in material enjoyment. When the six sons of Marici, so now who are the six sons? Figuratively, who are the six sons? Now that's literally who they were. Yes, that's it. When the six sons of Marici, that means this lust, greed, anger, are killed by such fear, when the six sons of Marici are killed by such fear, and one is freed from material contamination, within the womb of bhakti, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears. Thus, the seventh pregnancy of Devaki signifies the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So who was the seventh? Yes. Good. Thus the seventh pregnancy of Devaki signifies the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After the six sons, Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, and Matsarya are killed, the Shesha incarnation creates a suitable situation for the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, when one awakens his natural Krishna consciousness, Lord Krishna appears. This is the explanation given by
Vishwanath
Chakravarti Thakur. Text 9. O all auspicious Yogamaya. So she ordered Yogamaya to transfer Balaram to the womb of Rohini. And she says, O all auspicious Yogamaya, I shall then appear with my six full opulences as the son of Devaki. And you will appear as the daughter of Mother Yashoda, the queen of Maharaj Nanda. Lord Krishna blessed Maya Devi. Anyway, that's not so. But there's just one. Okay, here we are. Text 13. The son of Rohini will also be celebrated as Shankarshan because of being sent from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. He will be called Rama because of his ability to please all the inhabitants of Gokula. And he will be known as Balabhadra because of his extensive physical strength. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. These are some of the reasons why Balaram is known as Shankarshan, Balaram, or sometimes Brahma. In the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. People sometimes object when Rama is accepted as Balaram. But although devotees of Lord Rama may object, they should know that there is no difference between Balaram and Lord Rama. Here, Srimad Bhagavatam clearly states that Balaram is also known as Rama, Rameti. Therefore, it is not artificial for us to speak of Lord Balaram as Lord Rama. Jayadev Goswami also speaks of three Ramas, Parashurama, Raghupati Rama, and Balarama. All of them are Ramas. Text 14. Thus instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yogamaya immediately agreed. With the Vedic mantra Om, she confirmed that she would do what he asked. Thus, having accepted the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, she circumambulated him and started for the place on earth known as Nanda Gokul. There she did everything just as she had been told. Text 15. When the child of Devaki was attracted and transferred into the womb of Rohini by Yogamaya, Devaki seemed to have a miscarriage. Thus all the inhabitants of the palace loudly lamented, "Alas, Devaki has lost her child." Thus the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul of all living entities, and who vanquishes the fear of his devotees, entered the mind of Vasudev in full opulence. And then the Bhagavatam describes how Krishna appeared. So that's a very auspicious day. Lord Balaram is the original spiritual master. The spiritual master has two functions. One is he serves Lord Krishna, and the other is he imparts knowledge about Lord Krishna. So Lord Balaram, being the first expansion of Krishna, is the first to act in that position as spiritual master. So, do we have any comments or questions? Yes, Revati?
You were talking about all of this occurred as a result of the offense of the brothers of laughing at their father, who externally also appeared to be behaving inappropriately. Hmm. So, just that, like, you could talk a little more about how even when a devotee is making a mistake or apparently not behaving properly, then we still should honor them.
Yeah, well, they mocked him. You know, they derided him. And that was offensive.
So they didn't have any compassion for what he was going through. They actually took it as an amusement.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely worth reading both the Chaitanya Bhagavat, which is the context in which Lord Chaitanya narrated the story, and the Bhagavatam, which describes, because after Krishna has a Guru Dakshina for his teacher, Sandipani Muni. I think he delivered his dead son. So Devaki thought, well, maybe he could do that for me, you know, bring back my six dead sons. So Krishna went to the to Bali and asked, like, for these six sons, and Bali said, they you have to go to the god of the waters. So he went underwater and he asked for these six sons, and he heard the whole story of how they fell into that position or condition. So this is Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, and I'll come to the part where the Brahmin from Navadvip meets the Lord in Puri, and he the Brahmin said, "My Lord, if you consider me to be one of your servants, I request you to express your view on certain points." Lord Nityananda, the Avadhut, is now in Navadvip. I cannot understand his behavior. People say that he is in the renounced order of life, and yet I see him chewing betel and camphor all the time. A sannyasi is not supposed to even touch gold, silver, and precious gems, but I see that he decorates himself with ornaments made of these. Instead of wearing a saffron-colored cloth, I see that he wears flowing silk robes of various colors. And he decorates himself with sandalwood paste and flower garlands. Nityananda does not carry the sannyas danda, but instead an iron rod. He is always seen in the company of shudras and other low caste persons. Because he does not strictly follow the injunctions of Shastra, I have doubts about him. Many people claim that he is a great personality. Why then doesn't he act in a way that is befitting his position as a sannyasi? My dear Lord, please keep in mind that I am just your menial servant. Kindly tell me what this all actually means. The pious Brahmin thus inquired submissively from the Lord at an opportune moment. In reply, the Lord revealed everything to him without reservation. Lord Chaitanya smiled magnanimously and said, "Listen carefully, my dear Brahmin. One who is a very elevated, realized soul is free from all faults. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11.20.36, it is stated, those who are free from all desires and are unrelated to the service of Lord Krishna, those who are free from all desires that are unrelated to the service of Lord Krishna, who have transcended the bodily conception of life, seeing everyone as spirit soul with equal vision. Such great souls do not have to enjoy or suffer the results of either their pious or sinful acts, nor do they have to act according to the rules and regulations of Shastra. Lord Nityananda is absolutely pure. He remains in this material world like a lotus leaf, which remains untouched by the water it stands in. But if anyone tries to imitate Lord Nityananda, he will have to suffer terrible consequences. If anyone other than Lord Shiva were to drink poison, he would surely die. In Srimad Bhagavatam 10.33.30, it is stated, O King, fire is all-consuming, and remains unaffected and uncontaminated by any dirty thing it touches. Similarly, a very powerful person should not be condemned for transgressing religious principles. If anyone criticizes Lord Nityananda's activities, he will have to suffer severe reactions life after life. Listen to what Srimad Bhagavatam says about persons who laughed and ridiculed a great personality. What is this leading up to? To reward their guru, Krishna and Balaram brought back his dead son from the abode of Yamaraj. When Mother Devaki heard about this, she approached Krishna and Balaram and begged them to bring back her six infant sons who had been killed by the cruel King Kamsa. As soon as they heard their mother's wish, Krishna and Balaram went to the abode of Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj received the two lords with great respect. After offering very nice prayers, Bali Maharaj washed Krishna's and Balaram's lotus feet and drank the water along with his family members. He also worshipped the lords with offerings of incense, perfume, flowers, camphor, ghee lamps, clothing, and valuable ornaments. Bali Maharaj then said, "My lord, kindly instruct me, if you consider me to be your servant. Whoever follows your instructions easily transcends all rules and regulations." Being pleased, Krishna replied, "Dear Bali, please hear our reason for coming here. My mother's six sons were killed by the wicked King Kamsa. Later, the demoniac king was killed as a reaction to this grievous sin. My mother is very aggrieved because of the loss of her sons. You have these six boys with you, and I have come to take them, to please my mother. All six were Brahma's grandsons, the sons of Brahma's son, Marichi. Once, being apparently afflicted by lust, Brahma surprisingly chased his own daughter. The six young boys laughed derisively upon seeing this. And because of this, they instantly fell from their godly position. Because they had ridiculed a great personality, they had to be born in the family of a vicious demon, Hiranyakashipu. During a fight between the demigods and the demons, Indra killed the six boys with his thunderbolt. Yogamaya then arranged for them to be born as Devaki's sons. They were murdered by their maternal uncle Kamsa. Of course, Mother Devaki is unaware of all this. She simply considers them to be her sons. Now I want to return them to their mother. As soon as they drink Mother Devaki's breast milk, they will become freed from all previous sins. Because that breast milk is Mahaprasad. Bali Maharaj, the consequences of ridiculing a Vaishnava are very severe. I am saying this so that you may be convinced that you should never offend my devotee. If a person worships me and chants my name, but at the same time offends a Vaishnava, he will have to suffer severe setbacks in his devotional life. To those who love and respect my devotees, I make myself easily available. Bali Maharaj was very happy to receive these instructions from the Lord. He brought Devaki's six sons and presented them to Balaram and Krishna, and they in turn delivered them to their mother. After drinking Devaki's breast milk, the boys gained realization of the truth. They fell down at the Lord's lotus feet to offer obeisances. Lord Krishna said, "You may now return to your heavenly abode. But remember, never ridicule a great personality. Lord Brahma is an expansion of the Supreme Lord, and thus he deserves to be respected, even if found to be doing something wrong. You have already suffered severe consequences by deriding Lord Brahma, and so, in the future, beware of making such mistakes. Now you must go and beg forgiveness from Lord Brahma. Only then will you feel cleansed and blissful." Lord Chaitanya concluded by saying, now he's speaking to the Brahmin from Navadvipa, "My dear Brahmin, I have related to you these topics from Srimad Bhagavatam so that you will give up all your suspicions regarding Lord Nityananda. Persons with little knowledge and piety cannot understand his position. Lord Nityananda's behavior is beyond the jurisdiction of any rules and regulations. Who has the capacity to comprehend his qualities? Without properly understanding his extraordinary character, if anyone criticizes Nityananda, even though such a person may be directly serving the Supreme Lord, he will lose all of his devotion. You must leave immediately for Navadvipa and teach everyone the truth about Nityananda. Even if Lord Nityananda were to marry a Mohammedan girl or enter a bar, his lotus feet would remain most worshipable. Lord Chaitanya's words influenced the Brahmin's heart, giving him faith in Lord Nityananda. Upon his arrival at Navadvip, the Brahmin first went to see Nityananda Prabhu. He honestly admitted his offenses to the Lord, who in turn graced him with his mercy. The author concludes this chapter by saying, whatever people may say about Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, may their lotus feet be permanently imprinted in my heart. I pray at everyone's feet to invoke their blessings that birth after birth I may remain the Lord's servant and he my eternal master. This is my only desire. Now, here, because Srila Prabhupada used this phrase, which you will hear, and we might wonder about that phrase, but here it is right in Chaitanya Bhagavat. If after hearing all this about Lord Nityananda's boundless mercy, if anyone is so degraded and sinful as to still criticize him, I firmly kick his head. Srila Prabhupada often said that. Kick their head with boots. Okay. Well, I guess I'll just... Lord Chaitanya is the Lord of my Lord and Master, Nityananda Prabhu. This fact gives me great strength and hope. I will ever be blessed to see my Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya sitting on a throne, surrounded by all their associates. All glories to Lord Chaitanya. O Lord Gauranga, kindly bless me so that I may have Lord Nityananda's shelter. Along with this plea, I further pray that even after gaining Lord Nityananda's association, I may never forget your lotus feet. Wherever you and Lord Nityananda appear as incarnations, I hope to somehow be eligible to engage in your eternal servant. Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu are my life and soul. I, Vrindavan Das, humbly offer this song at their lotus feet.